And I remember one day having the conversation because I was hoping for one of those huge royalty checks, and it was a really tiny one. And I'm sitting there, and I'm weeping. I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm so discouraged, I'm weeping. And God wasn't working with me on this. I wasn't getting like a lot of compassionate pity or nothing. I hate it when that happens. Work with me here. Work with me. I'm weeping. I'm discouraged. Billy Graham said that the root of all discouragement is unbelief. I really don't think God's going to take care of me. That's why I'm discouraged. If I knew that God was going to take care of me, if that was settled in my mind, then it would be pretty near impossible to discourage me. So I'm sitting there with this tiny little royalty check. It won't make a dent in the pile of bills that I have. Here's what he said. He said, Bob, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm not going to take care of you? Well, technically, no, I guess it doesn't. It means you're not going to take care of me with this check. He says, yeah. Why did you think I was going to? And that's a very penetrating question. That was the only thing I could see coming down the pike that would meet my needs. But that doesn't mean God has to use that, does it? Couldn't he come up with something I wasn't even expecting? Don't you love it when he does that? We just hate it until it happens. All my eyes are fixed over here. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. And of course, that's a false God. Technically, no, I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in God to use that. Yeah, tomato, tomato. It's the same thing. And what I know, when he shows me, is that if I was trusting in that instead of him, he shows me that by it not coming through. And he'll sit down and say, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm still God or not? Am I not still God? Okay, technically, yes, I guess you're still God. Am I going to, you know, can I find another way to take care of you? Well, I guess you could. Okay, so then what's your problem? Why are you bummed out that this thing didn't deliver you? It's because you were looking to this check to deliver you, weren't you? Well, if you put it that way, I guess it's sort of technically, I guess I was. Don't you need to know that? I personally think that's what the testing of our faith is all about. It's not just for God to show us his faithfulness. It's for him to show us what we're trusting in that's not him. Oh, this is such a big subject. I just don't have enough time. And I have so many bad examples in my own life of how to not do this. Jesus used a poignant phrase in Matthew 13, and it just hits me between the eyes every time I read it. It was in the context of talking about why the seed of God's word falls into some lives, but it doesn't grow. It sprouts up really quickly. But he said there are two things that choke it out and it withers and it dies. Two things. Remember what they were that choke it out? Cares of this life and what? The deceitfulness of riches. Plousia, same word. The deceitfulness of riches. It's that phrase that hits me between the eyes. That means that more having more than enough is promising something that it can't give. Deceitfulness of riches. We don't think about it that way, do we? This is promising me something. This is promising me it's going to protect me. It's promising it's going to give me security. It's promising me it's going to fulfill me. And the best it could do would be to do that temporarily. But long term, it can't give what it promises. God's the only one that can do that. So that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, hey, tell them to not lean on if they've got more than enough, because it could go like that, like those wildflowers. Tell them to put their confident expectation of future good in God. Then they're safe. The riches, the plousios, that's uncertain. One x-ray from the doctor can change your whole view of your future. One bank crash, one airplane flying into a skyscraper. I mean, name all the things that could happen. And I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to just do just the opposite. If stuff like that's going to happen, I want to be leaning on something that can't fail. Right? Don't you? So, if you don't have enough, you're sucking ditch water, he says, hey, James says, you're a child of God. You got it made. And that, you know, if you got more than enough, let's say on a sliding scale from, you know, I can have a hot fudge sundae this week after I pay all my bills to, you know, I can buy a $5 million yacht for a tax write-off. I mean, somewhere in there is that broad word of more than enough. He says, don't lean on that. And if that humbles you and you've realized, well, I'm on the same footing as that poor guy, hey, that's not a bad thing, because you're a child of God too. And he can take care of you. You don't have to worry about who's going to embezzle funds, because nobody's going to embezzle from your Heavenly Father. So you got it made. You're safe. Can I tell you something from experience? I have been in both of these places. I've been in places where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. I've been in places where somebody made a stupid decision and I lost 10 or 15 years worth of momentum. And had to start at square one. And I've had enough that in 1 year I gave away $30,000 and didn't even miss it. I had so much more than enough. There was a period of time where I didn't have to think about whether I wanted to do something. I just did it. It comes and it goes. It's not stable. What is stable? Well, to put all my eggs in one basket and say, you know what? I do not know what's coming down the pike tomorrow. I just know who I belong to. I, you know, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he holds my hand. I love that song. So James is saying in terms of trial, if you looked at your bank account and you realized that this trial that just plopped into my lap, there is no possible, conceivable way I can ever buy my way out of this, he says, don't worry about it. You're a child of God. Changes everything. Or the trial that comes down the pike, you think, hey, I've got this one wired. He's saying, hey, don't lean on that, because that may not come true either. Something could come from over here you wouldn't expect. And take all that away. Just humble yourself before the Lord and realize you're a child of God. He's going to take care of you. And that levels the playing field, doesn't it? So verse 12. I just love this verse. It's like the bookend on verses 2 and 3, the other bookend. Testing of your faith develops perseverance. Okay. Happy is the man who hangs in there under pressure, under trial, because when he has passed the test or stood the test or been approved, it's that word for testing, which is the kind that only God does. Dokimasu or dokimatsu, I think, is the verb. It's like Japanese food to me, but it means to test something in order to prove it. It's the kind of a test that always has in view a favorable outcome. It's a different word than when Satan tests us to see us fall. When God allows our faith to be tested, he has every intention of proving his faithfulness, of showing perhaps the unfaithfulness of what we've been trusting in instead of him. So passing the test, standing the test, that's a happy guy that can hang in there under pressure, because when he has persevered, passed the test, he will receive the crown of life. I remember when I talked about that 2 weeks ago in Rockland, it kind of freaked Julia out, and we talked about it in great length last night, because in her mind, without me explaining what the words meant, she thought that was speaking of salvation. So what she thought was, if I just don't ever give up, and if I, you know, always have faith, then at the end of the road, I'll be saved. And I thought, no, that's not really what it's saying. The word crown is the word for a reward. It's the victor's crown, not the kingly crown. Different word. In fact, it was the word for the laurel wreaths that were given as an award in the Olympic Games. What it's saying is, the life that I want to have, the life that God wants me to have, this is the path. The path of enduring trials is the path that leads to that blessing. Why is that important to know? Because you will be offered constantly alternative paths. Oh, this marriage is too hard. I feel so confined and so stifled. I will just get off this path. I'll go over here. I'll take a little detour, and I'll get down to that life. And God says, you know, it isn't going to work that way. You're not going to be getting what you think you're getting. This is the path that leads to the blessing. Yeah, but it's uncomfortable. It stinks right now. Yeah, that's just right now. Don't worry. It is going to the blessing. It's that endurance thing. It's that perseverance thing. Remember Steve Brown on the subject of marriage saying, all of marriage counseling books could be boiled down into two words. Don't leave. Because he says, when you leave, you miss out on all the good stuff. And boy, that's not the way we think, is it? But I've been there. You think, unless I leave, I'll die. And God says, unless you stay, you'll die. That the path that leads to life is the path of trusting me, obeying me, doing what I say, hanging in there under pressure. When you get down at the end of that path, that's where life is. And of course, we have opportunity after opportunity to practice with it. We believe that. I just use the most common panic button subject. But finances are the same way. I go through this all the time. I run through this drill all the time. I have opportunities to do other things other than this. This is hard. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. Man, there's a lot of times that those other alternatives are very appealing. But you know what he says to me? When I'm telling him how hard this is and it's not working, and so obviously somebody could do a better job than this. I don't know why. I'm doing the best I can. Blah, 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 blah. He says, Bob, look at my face. This is the path that leads to the blessing. There isn't another one. There isn't path B or path C. I'll still love you if you decide to go running off in, but this, the blessing that you want, the life that you want, this is the path that gets there. This is how you get there. Oh, but it's so hard. He says, yeah, well, you don't have to walk it alone. I'll help you. And you don't have to do the whole path. You just have to do today. You have to do this step, and then tomorrow you'll do the next step, and it won't always be horrible. That's what James is saying. You're a happy person if you hang in there under pressure, because when that test is passed, how do you pass the test? If the test is, are you going to trust God or are you going to bail out? You pass the test by not bailing out, right? In whatever form that may take. James said, what's at the end of that road? That's that crown of life. Life, zoe, Z-O-E is the Greek word. There are a couple of different Greek words in the New Testament. I mean, they're fairly close in their meaning. Bios was the word we get biology from, is one. But in the New Testament, that's an inferior word. That's the word for just existence, like animals would have. But in the New Testament usage, the word zoe, it's John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have zoe, life, and have more than enough life. Life on every plane of existence. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says life as God has it. I don't know why that's, I like that. God sitting out by the pool with an iced tea, kicking back. Of course, he is responsible for the entire universe, but he's not sweating it because he's God. You know, that kind of life. One of my resources said, life which is active and vigorous and genuine. I know it sounds like a commercial for drugs or something. James says, you know, that's the award. That's the reward that you get. Every time you don't bail and you hang in there under pressure, that portion of the path, what waits through that sticky, ugly part, that hard part, what waits at the end of that is another fresh taste of that life that God's promised his people. There's no other way to get it. You don't get it by finding a different path. And that was the original lie, wasn't it? Wasn't the original lie God's not being fair? He's being unreasonable. He's asking you to do something, and he's promising you one thing, but, you know, he won't let you do this and blah, blah, blah. But the original lie was God's path isn't the one that leads to life. You can find your own. When we get to chapter 5 of James, he says a similar thing talking about perseverance. He spends a lot of time talking about it in this book. He says this, talking about perseverance. He says, remember Job, which that caught my eyes. Remember Job and his perseverance. This is James 5:11. And remember what in the end the Lord had intended all along. Because he is full of tenderness and mercy. Boy, it just fits together with what we studied about Job. Yeah, it was hard for a while. It was really hard for a while. But the period of time that it was hard was minuscule compared to the life with a capital L that God brought to him. That's just on this earth, not counting eternity. That's what James is saying here. So I feel like I wandered all over the place, but that's just good stuff. That is stuff I need to hear a lot. I can pretty well promise you, you won't find any of those things in the self-help section of the bookstore. You pretty much will never hear this on Oprah. You pretty much will not hear it from a lot of your coworkers and friends. And the sad thing is, you won't even hear it in a lot of sermons. But it is the truth. So there's a lot of stuff to consider in there. The path that leads to the blessing. By the way, all trials are temporary. Listen to what I'm saying. All trials are temporary. All of God's blessings are eternal. All of them. Everything he does has an eternal quality about it. Even the little things, even the, oh, I found a good parking place today. Even the, I was expecting $78 in my foreign royalty check today and I got $780 instead, right when that's exactly how much I needed to keep my car insurance going. That's just stuff, yeah. But the one who did it is eternal, and you're his child. And he takes care of you always with eternity in mind. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Lord. You have shown me that having more than enough and worldly stuff, it comes and it goes. Sometimes without warning. You've shown us, Lord, over and over that you are the one stable thing in all of this universe. And the only place really worthy of our hope, the only place really worthy to lean our full weight upon you. So help us to do that, Lord. Thank you for every time you kick the crutch that we are leaning on out from under us. So while we're flailing, we find out, I guess we really were trusting in this and not in you, and that's worth knowing. Thank you for the reminder that there's a process that is worth going through, or you wouldn't be allowing it in our lives. It's worth doing. It's essential. It's deliberate. You got a smile on your face. You can't wait until we can see what you can see, and we will be rejoicing. So Lord, help us while we're on the path that leads to the blessing, where we're in the stinky part. May we lift one another's eyes to see the crown of life that's at the end of it. And tomorrow could be the end, or 2 weeks or 2 years could be the end of it. Thank you for the mind and the heart of love that are in control of our lives. Help us to remember, because we leak, and we commit the teaching of the truth to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.